ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Things were meant to be getting better and easier. But now one prominent economist is predicting interest rates will go up 3 times this year. What a turnaround. A nanosecond ago, we were being told rates were likely to start falling soon. Today, Chief Business Correspondent Ian Verinder explains what's going wrong. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, at the beginning of the year, economists were pretty optimistic, weren't they, that inflation was going in the right direction. And when we were speaking back in January, we were discussing the prospect of a number of rate cuts potentially in 2024. But things have changed somewhat.
Hi, Sam. Yes, they have. They have indeed. And look, I tell you what, it's pretty instructive just to, you know, consider what you just said then, because it just shows how quickly things can change. And so we're talking about this massive change now about what we might experience towards the end of this year. Well, we don't know. It could all change back again. But, you know, it does show the limitations of forecasts and, you know, you might as well have a dartboard up there and just throw darts at it. But at the moment, that's right. Everything's been wound back. All the projections for rate cuts have been wound back and delayed. And, you know, and not just here in America as well. You know, they were talking about, I think, around 6 rate cuts this year. Mm. The markets are forecasting now about 1.5. So gives you a bit of an indication. In Australia, we've got a lot of analysts now suggesting that rate hikes might be on the go, with one outlier. They're suggesting 3 rate hikes for Australia before the end of the year.
Yeah, right. That's Warren Hogan.
Yeah.
We're trying to pull off something that no country's ever done, we've never done, and that is get rid of inflation without a recession, without a bad recession. And that's that narrow path. And it just looks like we're wandering off it. And that's why I think a further tap on the brakes from the RBA, maybe 2-3 rate hikes this year, getting that cash rate to 5%, will maybe get the job done. I mean,
he's saying 3 in a row, is he? My gosh. Who is he? Stop talking like that, Warren.
Warren's a very good economist, I've got to say. And his father was a very famous economist who taught at Sydney University. And I was in his lectures at the time. So probably goes to show how old I am. But anyway.
Yeah, so he's on his own there.
He is. But look, he was the most accurate forecaster last year. So. Yep.
Okay. So, but others are what predicting? What's the consensus here?
Well, the Commonwealth Bank is still projecting a cut towards the end of this year.
Uh-huh.
So they're talking about rates coming from 4.35% down to 4.1% by the end of the year. So, you know, they're still in the camp of we expect rate cuts. And look, a lot of this is, you know, there's a textbook argument for inflation is not coming down as quickly as you want it, so you raise interest rates. But there's a lot of unique factors about Australia that, you know, a lot of people aren't really taking into account.
Mm.
To start with, even the IMF the other week came out and said, you know, highlighted the fact that Australia has one of the highest levels of variable mortgage rates in the world. And so as a result of that, when the Reserve Bank raises interest rates, it translates or transfers through to the mortgage market far more quickly than pretty much any other developed nation. And that means our households get whacked much more quickly and much harder than most other nations. Mm. So that's one, you know, thing to look at. The other is that America is spending a huge amount at the moment on economic stimulus, the government, you know, through the Inflation Reduction Act, all of the moves they're making to try and keep or rebuild American industry. So that's a huge boost to spending power within the economy. And, you know, we're not doing that here, although we are looking at tax cuts at June 30. So that will be a stimulus as well. So we are a little bit unique here. I mean, it's the pain that's being translated through to our households and particularly to small businesses. Small businesses insolvencies have risen to record highs. Oh. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation that that is going to continue to rise into the future.
And why is that? Because people aren't spending as much because of the rate hikes we've already had.
That's right. Yeah. So we've had 13 rate hikes, but we've incredibly inflation is still being quite sticky. But you've got to look at where the inflation pressures are coming from, right? So in the most recent figures for the 3 months to the end of March, the most important part of that 1% lift in the 3 month period was down to rents. Now rents were up 2.1%, and rents make up a very big portion of the basket of goods and services that measure inflation. So that's a really important one. The other one was secondary education. Then it was tertiary education, then medical and hospital bills. Now, these are all things that will not be affected if you raise interest rates. I mean, you know, you suddenly interest rates have, you know, jacked up again. Are you going to say, oh, well, look, I might cut back on my rent this week because, you know, I need to save money, or I'll only go to school for 3 days out of this week out of five because, you know, we need to save cash. You have no discretion over that spending. So raising interest rates in that environment will only further impact that the areas that are already suffering quite badly, you know, your discretionary spending, your household consumption figures.
But so inflation went up in the March quarter. And as you say, that's because of rents, uni fees, things like that. Mm. But that's why we're now talking about raising rates again, right?
Yeah, but my point is you can raise rates and it won't affect those things, you know, because we've already clamped down on pretty much everything we possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously a lot of people who don't have mortgages. There's a lot of people who rent. And I guess what's one of the other unique things that Australia is doing at the moment that the rest of the world isn't doing? Well, we're importing, our population is growing at a dramatic rate and we're bringing in a lot more people as a, you know, proportion of our economy, the size of our economy, than most other developed nations. Mm. And so while individual households are doing it really, really tough, aggregate spending continues to rise. Mm. And because we've got a lot, our population has grown so dramatically in the past 2 years, 2 to 3 years, that has put pressure on services. And it is services that are driving the inflationary rebound at the moment, or that, you know, stopping it from coming down as quickly as we'd like. Mm. And so, you know, one possible solution here would be to perhaps wind back the level that we're not cut it out, but, you know, just perhaps slow down the rate of increase in population by slowing down the rate of immigration at the moment.
Mm. So instead of raising rates, you think inflation could be controlled somewhat if we limited the number of people coming into the country now?
Well, people need a place to live. Mm. So, you know, if they're coming into the country with money and they can afford to buy a place, they will. If they don't have enough to buy, they'll rent. So that is putting enormous pressure on our housing market. And, you know, you can see it. We've had increase in housing prices every month since January last year, despite 13 interest rate hikes. It's extraordinary. Mm. We've seen rents really, really soar in the past year and a half. And again, it's down to demand, you know. So if you've got, everyone needs to live somewhere. And if you've got a stock of housing that doesn't grow very quickly, and you've got so your supply isn't growing as quickly as the demand, then the price is going to go up. And that's what we're seeing.
That's the sticky inflation, that term, sticky inflation.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it is for things like services. It's not for discretionary items, you know, accommodation, travel, all of those things are being wound right back by consumers at the moment.
Well, the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, he's putting a bit more of a positive spin on things, I think.
But what we saw today was welcome and encouraging progress in the fight against inflation. You know, obviously we would like inflation to moderate further and faster, We know that people are still under substantial pressure, but we are making progress. And we see that in the fact that last quarter inflation had a 4 in front of it, now it's got a 3 in front of it.
What does it say, Ian, about our economy that predictions can change so dramatically in such a short period of time? I mean, should we really predict anything anymore?
Yeah, I know. It's one of my bugbears, I've got to tell you, because, you know, I often laugh that there's a lot of economists who change their predictions pretty much every day, depending on which bit of data has come out. And you think, well, what's the point? You know, if you were saying, you know, up 4% last week and this week it's going to be, you know, only 3% and next week it's up 5%. I mean, why bother with forecasts, annual forecasts for that matter, when, you know, you're changing them on a daily or even a weekly basis?
Yeah. All right. Well, given, Ian, we've had 13 rate rises, and as you say, that's put a huge amount of pressure on a lot of households, and that hasn't actually solved our inflation problem to this point. Would another rate hike or another one after that actually do what it's supposed to do, which is bring the inflation rate down to that 2 to 3% target range, which is set by the RBA?
No, I don't think it would. And that's the really interesting part of all this, because when you do raise rates, I mean, we're getting down to the really difficult part of this whole exercise, which is to get it down to somewhere between 2 and 3%. And the problem, you know, as we've just talked about, is not in goods inflation. It's not in the stuff that we manufacture or that we bring in from overseas. It's in services. It's in, you know, hairdressers and dentists and doctors and all of those kind, and utilities, your power bills, all of those things that you have to spend the money on. You have no option but to spend the money on it. And if the prices of those things are rising, restricting people's ability to spend, they're still going to have to spend that money on those things and probably spend less on the things that they've already cut back on. So this is where it's getting very, very tricky. And again, you know, perhaps, you know, we're putting too much pressure on the economy with the rapid increase in the size of the population, and we need to slow that population increase down just a touch, wind it back a little bit, so that we can get enough housing built to put a roof over everybody's head, make sure that there are enough you know, of these services out there to be able to meet the demand from a rapidly growing population.
In the meantime, though, economists like Warren Hogan are predicting that rates will keep going up, and that just seems incredibly unfair on a subsection of the population.
It is, yeah. And look, I guess the general breakdown is that one third of people have a mortgage, one third of people own their house outright, and the other third rent. So, you know, you're hitting two thirds of the household sector with massive increases in the cost of living, because they have to pay the mortgage and they have to pay the rent. So it's generally older people who are close to retirement that would own their homes, and they wouldn't be that fussed by this. So it's an unfair tool because it really targets specific groups. And obviously the younger you are and the bigger your mortgage, the harder life is. I just think there's got to be other ways that we need to look at this to perhaps take some pressure off those areas that are causing this inflationary problem.
Well, Ian, the Reserve Bank Board will meet again next week. So what do you think it will do?
Look, I think they'll stay on hold. Mm-hmm. The numbers for the March quarter weren't catastrophic. I mean, as I said, you know, on an annual basis, our inflation has come down from 4.1% in December to 3.6% in March. But the three-month period itself, it did rise to a point where there'd be some uncomfortable conversations around that boardroom table in Martin Place in Sydney at the Reserve Bank meeting next week. But it's not enough for them to put interest rates up now.
All right, and let's hope Warren Hogan's predictions change rapidly.
I'm sure he hopes that they change too.
I'm sure he does. All right, thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Ian Verrender is the ABC's chief business correspondent. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, with audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.